one of the things that the Holy Spirit has led me to was the understanding about how people are being deceived. In other words, you know, even though you have the Holy Spirit, you can still be deceived by other spirits. And there's a place where we have to be careful because we are in the last hours. Amen? And we've got to be careful of walking in the right anointing. We've got to be careful walking in the right anointing because there is a place where it's called a mixed anointing. A mixed anointing is a representation of walking with the Lord in the right spirit and then shifting over and walking with other spirits. Okay, and I want to talk about the mixed anointing, and it's really important. I really believe that the Lord has brought this across for specifically right now because of what's going on. And, you know, His whole purpose is to keep His children in His presence, and because He desires no one to perish, does He? So if you'll turn with me to Acts 10, hallelujah, Acts chapter 10. In verse 36, Acts chapter 10 and verse 36, and it says, and the word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching what? Peace. Through Jesus Christ, He is Lord of all. He was preaching peace. What God was bringing to us was a representation, a manifestation was going to happen of peace. Amen? Because people in the world are tormented. They don't know what they're trying to... They're trying to go out and buy peace. Aren't they?
Amen.
I mean, they're trying to fulfill themselves and walking in peace by what they purchase. But then it wears away and they go out and buy something else. So they find a new job, find a new relationship, whatever it was. Well, Jesus came preaching the true peace, the gospel of peace. And it says, that word which you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit. Now understand, the Holy Spirit is a representation of the anointing. Holy Spirit is the anointing. Has everybody got it?
Amen.
He represents God's presence.
Amen.
And so when God's presence, said Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit, so something was going to happen. He was going to be with power, went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Does everybody see that? So you see, he had power, didn't he? He had power over temptation. He had power, which is a representation of self-control. He had dominion over his members. He had dominion over his tongue. He had dominion over the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh and pride of life, the desires of flesh. Hello?
Amen.
He had dominion. Why? Because he was walking in the anointing. So understand something. You and I have a free will, don't we?
Amen.
So you and I have a choice of who we're going to listen to, don't we?
Amen.
So we're either going to yield to the Holy Spirit or to another spirit. Now, if I'm coming to you in the Holy Spirit, I'm walking in the correct anointing. If I come to you with another spirit, I'm walking in the mixed anointing. Does everybody understand that? So if I'm coming to you in rage and anger and jealousy, I'm coming to you in another spirit, aren't I?
Amen.
So we got to understand that there is a mixed anointing that's going on right now. And God wants to reveal it. So what He does is we're going to get discernment tonight. It's going to increase our discernment about walking in the mixed anointing.
Amen.
Now, the mixed anointing is very familiar to the anointing of God. And we must be careful. Because the mixed anointing, when you're walking in another anointing besides the anointing of the Holy Spirit, what it does is puff one up. It brings glory to self. But it tries to give glory to God, but it's still puffing oneself up. It comes as a familiar spirit, something that's like the Holy Spirit. In fact, people can go over their boundaries and what God has given them and walk and pick up another spirit. Is everybody with me? We'll talk a little bit more about that. Go to 1 John chapter 2. Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
In verse 15 through 20, if you'll read it with me, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15 through 20, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, who's the ruler of the world? Amen. And what is his presence known as? The spirit of Antichrist. Does everybody get it? The spirit of Antichrist. Now it says, For all that is in the world, the what? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, me, myself, and I, hello? Is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard, that the Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. Now, understand something. Just because people always think, when you speak of the Antichrist, they always think of Satan himself as the Antichrist. But it says many Antichrists. So you got to understand something. The devil is not going to use unbelievers for the representation of Antichrist. He's going to use believers with deceiving spirits. Does everybody understand that? Because a believer with an unbeliever with an antichrist is too easy. Come on. They don't even know what Christ is. Hello? So he's going to use a believer or believers and have them yield to the spirit of error, the spirit of Antichrist, so that they come against the move of the spirit, the gifts, and so forth. Does everybody understand that? Okay. Go to verse 19. It says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be manifest, that none of them were of us. One of the things the devil always tries to do is take someone out of a flock, doesn't he? So they can become manifest. People backslide and go do things because they heeded to the voice of the stranger, and the stranger took them out. That was the spirit of Antichrist. The spirit of Antichrist is not going after unbelievers. He's going after believers. That's why he's Antichrist. So if you're already Christ, he's coming after you. Hallelujah. In verse 20, it says, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Now, who is the anointing? So it's the Holy Spirit that knows all things, not you. Does everybody understand that? That's the big difference, man. There's a lot of people that think they know all things. Man, I'll tell you what, I shy away from someone that tells me I hear God every single moment. Because God doesn't speak to an individual every single moment. Hello? God told me this. God told me that. Well, wait a minute. No, God told me this. No, that ain't God. Now you're opening the door to familiar spirits. There are people who want to hear God so badly that they open their spirit to anything. Hello? Oh, hallelujah. So we see it's the Holy Spirit that knows all things, not me or you. Go to verse 27. Let's go to 26. These things I have written to you concerning those who what? Try to deceive you. Well, listen. Who would try to deceive you? Right, the spirit of Antichrist. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. So you don't want teaching. Now, this is a representation of being taught by the spirit of a man instead of the Holy Spirit. Does everybody understand that? If you're taught by the spirit of a man, that person is yielding to another spirit, isn't he? Amen. Known as the spirit of error. Amen. We want to have the Holy Spirit, don't we? So he says, you don't need anyone to teach you. So, in other words, anyone is a representation of an individual, but we want the spirit to teach us through God's anointed servants. He'll speak through anyone, won't he? Yes, amen. Amen? Sometimes you just... you're waiting on confirmation from someone, and someone will say something to you, and you know the Holy Spirit just spoke through that person. That person might not know it. Yeah. Well, how do you know then when somebody, the Antichrist is speaking through someone. Hello? Right, you'll know them by their fruit, won't you? See, this is where we have to have discernment, don't we? We have to discern the fruits. Now, if you're walking in the Spirit is going, the Holy Spirit's going to tell you things to come. In fact, most of the time, He's going to tell you what's going to happen after you do speak. He's going to show you something. Amen? The problem is that people aren't watching while, or listening, or hearing. Hello? They're just speaking. Hallelujah. But the anointing which you have received from Him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, just as it has taught you, you will abide in Him. Now, little children, abide in Him, that when He appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. If you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is of Him. Hallelujah. So, the anointed knows all things. The anointing is the Holy Spirit who knows all things. In other words, we want to be taught by the Holy Spirit. Any other spirit is a spirit of error or antichrist. They're the same. Every demon and demonic spirit is a representation of the spirit of antichrist. Does everybody understand that? Amen. So he's going to try and come against the will of God, isn't he? He's going to try and promote the will of man. If we remember, what did Jesus say to Peter? Get behind me, Satan, for you are an offense to me, and you are mindful of the things of man, but not the will of God.
Amen.
Hello?
Amen.
So, understand this, that when people begin to walk in a mixed anointing, one moment they're for the Lord, and the next moment they may seem like they're for the Lord, but actually they're going for the will of man. And most of the time, it's their own will. In fact, Jesus spoke in the Old Testament and rebuked the prophets that were coming and saying, they were saying things that were not of Him, but they were speaking out of their own spirit. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Go to 2 Corinthians 11. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
2 Corinthians chapter 11. Is everybody there? Is everybody all right?
Amen.
Starting at verse 1. Oh, that you would bear with me a little falling, and indeed you do bear with me, for I am jealous for you with godly jealousy. For I have betrothed you to one husband, he's talking about the Lord, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ.
Amen.
Let me tell you, walking with the Lord is not difficult.
Amen.
It's simple. It's man that allows it to become difficult. Because you know what they do? They begin to listen to deceiving spirits. And then they try and do it in their own strength. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, now Paul is warning us that others will come preaching another Jesus. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, and if you receive a what? Different spirit, that's called mixed anointing, which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. Well, why? Because the truth will set you free. As long as you're seeking the truth and you know the truth, you'll be able to shake this, won't you? Come on, is everybody all right?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Go to verse 10. As the truth of Christ is in me, no one shall stop me from this boasting in the regions of Cilicia. Why? Because I do not love you? God knows. But what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in things of which they boast. Because there were others going around proclaiming to be apostles that were not. Self-proclaimers. People that put themselves in position and are not sent from God. For such are what? False apostles. Deceitful workers. transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ.
Amen.
Now, this does not mean somebody is doing this intentionally.
Amen.
It might be somebody that loves the Lord that's taking heed and walks in the mixed anointing. Does everybody get that?
Amen.
He says, no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing that if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. Wow. And those are those who are walking in the mixed anointing. Does everybody understand that? Hey, they may love the Lord. They may worship the Lord. They may pray in tongues. They may do a lot of things. But you know what they're doing? They're going over boundaries that God has not told them to go to. They may be wanting so much of God that they've opened themselves to everything. And they've picked up other spirits. And you know what now? They're walking in mixed anointing. And the mixed anointing will eventually reveal itself. Everybody else will notice it, but the individual. And that individual won't, sometimes that person won't take counsel. They'll swear up and down that what they got is of God and everything else. Remember, you can't counsel a demon. The only thing you can do is cast it out. Hello. And it's going to come back if the person isn't willing to let it go anyways. So we understand that, you know, remember, you know, I minister in the jail. And I hear of a lot of other preachers that come in and preach some of the things that are just profound and bring people in bondage. Remember, the Spirit brings freedom, not bondage. Amen? And, you know, God bless them. The problem is they're walking in a mixed anointing. Because the truth would set them free, not bring bondage. Amen? So we see here that so many times I'll go minister somewhere and whatever, and I'll hear all kinds of stuff of bondage. And the whole thing is as you begin to speak about the Spirit, you'll hear, you can see the viper tongue come right out of some of these guys, and because they're coming against the Spirit. You know why? They picked up that Spirit that was brought in. Does everybody understand that? Mixed anointing. Oh, hallelujah. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. See, when we go beyond our boundaries that God has told us just to go to, and we go beyond, we open the door. In other words, it's somebody walks out of the protection of the Lord.
Amen.
1 Timothy chapter 4. Hallelujah. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith. Are we in the latter times?
Amen.
You got that right. Giving heed to what? Deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Wow. So even though it may sound and feel like the Holy Ghost, and this may give you goosebumps and everything else, it might not be.
Amen.
God is not the God of feeling. He's the God of truth. Amen. People run by their feelings. Keep telling you God told them this, God told them that. Forget it, man. You know, because God doesn't speak that way all the time, does he?
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Go to Ephesians 4. In fact, even in the Old Testament, you'll find if you read any of the books of the prophets, sometimes it was 7 days later when the Lord spoke to them.
Yes.
Sometimes it wasn't a word of the Lord to them for a long time.
Amen.
Does everybody got it?
Amen.
Ephesians 4 and chapter 4. Ephesians 4 verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. For what? The equipping of the saints for the working of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, which means anointing. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried away with every wind of doctrine. In other words, what everybody says. by the trickery of men and cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. Has everybody got it? Who is the head? Christ. So God placed offices in the body of Christ. Now let me share something with you. God does not just put somebody in office right away. You have to earn it. Anybody who goes in office right away is a self-proclaimer and is walking in the mix of 19. Has everybody got it? I mean, we all have a desire for office, don't we?
Amen.
There's nothing wrong with that. But God isn't going to put you in office just because you've been a believer for a couple years. He's going to prepare you, isn't He? And He's going to start you off little. You know what the Lord did with me? Before, I mean, you know, I was, well, He did all kinds of stuff, but anyways. I mean, I was a donkey for a long time. I still am. Yeah. But to God be the glory. Yeah. And the first, in one of the offices He placed me in as a pastor, He put me in a drug program as a pastor. So He began to train me up more there. Before He ever put me into a church or into anything else, I was under somebody. Amen? I was under somebody. I had to submit to somebody. That individual watched and whatever. God sent to me mentors and help. I even had a couple of women mentors. They were like mothers to me. Amen? So, you know, but they were around. I mean, when I first got saved, God put me in a whole family of believers. I used to go to morning prayer every morning. All of them mentored me. And then the Lord, I outgrew them and pulled me out and sent me out on my way. But I was there for a year and a half, going and praying every morning and doing whatever and learning, you know. And I was under a pastor and I was under other pastors and so forth. But I was learning. But I was learning how to be mentored by the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit was mentoring me through them.
Amen?
Amen? He was teaching me. He was showing me. And everybody in here is being mentored from one another and through the office in this ministry.
Amen.
We're being mentored. You have a mentor who is the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. He's your mentor. Remember, the Word is the tutor. The Holy Spirit is the mentor.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. So we see here that God places offices and He prepares. There is a desire in everyone's heart who is truly wanting to live for God to fulfill an office of some sort. I don't care if it's head usher. Hello?
Amen. Amen.
I don't care if it's head flusher. Whatever it is. You know, God's got an office for everyone, whether it's labor or whether it's bringing funds in a ministry, to the body of Christ, whether it is to help and helps, whatever it is, there's a specific job for everyone that God is training up for. And He's not going to put you right in there right away. He's going to prepare you and train you. So why? So that you won't associate with familiar spirits and the devil won't take you out. Oh, hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 3. So the Lord won't put an untrained individual in office until he or she grows and goes through the stages of maturity.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Starting at verse 1. This is a faithful saying, if a man desires the position of an office or a bishop, he desires a good work. That's a man or woman who desires to go in ministry. He said, a bishop then must be blameless, a husband of one wife, and of course, a wife of one husband, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, in other words, able to receive also, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous. One who rules his own house well. Hello, that's his temple. If you can't rule your house, you can't rule God's stuff. If you can't take dominion over this, how can God trust you? having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a novice. Hello? Not a novice. He's not going to put someone in there that's flaky. Brand new. Listen, the wonderful thing is when you first come to the Lord, let me tell you something. For a while, I mean, God just blesses your socks off. I mean, man, he lets you run in the Spirit. You'll pray, you'll prophesy, you'll kiss, you'll do all kinds of stuff. You'll walk in the gifts. I mean, God allows, man, he just lets you have a good time. Then you know what he does? He settles you.
Amen.
The problem is people want to keep going. And they walk in the mixed anointing when God is saying it's time to get settled. I've let you play. I've let you use the rattler. You know, the baby rattler. The Holy Ghost has been playing with you the whole time. I'm telling you, I went through this.
Amen.
I'm telling you, man, the Holy Spirit come upon me, caused me to laugh. He tickled me, and I'd laugh, and I'd see dreams and visions and prophesy, and I did all kinds of things, and then all of a sudden, boom. I'm like, what happened? What happened, Daddy? Settle down. I want to train you now. We've had fun. You believe me? Yes, Lord. I believe you. You remember all the visions and everything I gave you? Yes. Now hold on to them. Because what you're about to go through, I gave you all of those things so that you would never lose sight that I love you. I'm here for you. I'll never forsake you, never leave you. And I have a plan for you. Now you got to walk through it in faith.
Amen.
The problem is people are still chasing the rattler. And they walk in mixed anointing. And they pick up every familiar spirit and think God sent them to do this and do that and do whatever. And they've walked out of the protection of the Lord. And they begin to actually hurt others and don't even realize it. Oh, hallelujah. Not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, hello, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those, among those, among those, among those who are outside, lest he fall in reproach and the snare of the devil. Hello. Okay, is everybody all right? Let me share with you. David was anointed, and it took many years before he became king. Saul got slam dunked, who became Paul. It was 15 years before God sent him out.
Amen.
Hello? Man, when I used to read this, I said, Lord, I can't wait 15 years. He said, don't worry, but ain't 15 years left. I said, praise God, let's go. Hallelujah. Let's do it. So, you know, people that go out ahead before God are self-proclaimed individuals and they walked in mixed anointing. Hello?
Yeah.
Now, it can even happen to an individual that's been placed in office.
Amen.
And that's where you and I have to discern. We have to discern. Amen? Now, listen. Oh, let's go to Isaiah 10 first. Praise God. Isaiah chapter 10. Oh, hallelujah. You know, I used to say that there was two types of Christians. There was fruity and granola. And the granola ones were the nutty and fruity. And the other ones were the right, good fruits. You know, I can't tell you how many things I've gone through and seen of the difference of people walking in mixed anointing. One night, Mom and I were at a meeting, and this one individual that was supposedly the head of the meeting kept going, "Can you feel the Holy Spirit? It's so hot in here." I said, "Mom, it's so hot in here." I said, "But I know it ain't the Holy Ghost." I mean, I was sweating. I said, "Man, somebody needs to open a vent in this place." And I looked up, and there was the vent cold, and I'm trying to sneak up there to try and open it up. And the person's going, "That's the Holy Spirit." I'm like, "It ain't no Holy Spirit. It's just downright hot in this place." You know? Woo-hoo! Do you feel? No, I don't feel. I'm sweating because it's hot in here. Man, I could go on, I'll tell you. Isaiah 10:27. "It shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulders and his yoke from your neck. And the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil." Remember, the Holy Spirit does not bring bondage. He brings freedom. He brings freedom. Does everybody get it? If you're walking in a mixed anointing, you're going to bring bondage to yourself and to someone else. Remember, the Holy Spirit always brings freedom. Amen?
Amen.
Freedom. God is the God of divine order, isn't he?
Yes.
Oh, hallelujah. Go to 2 Peter chapter 2. Second Pete chapter 2. It's just for me and you. Thank you, Jesus. Go to verses 1 and 2. "But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies." Now, do they know they're doing it? No. "Even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destructions." Now, they can fall into a place where they really are coming against the ways of the Lord. You know. But there's going to be false prophets and false teachers.
Amen.
And there are right now.
Amen.
"And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will" what?
"Be
blessed." In other words, they will not be walking in the spirit of truth all the time. They'll be walking with the spirit of error and the spirit of truth, because they're walking in a mixed anointing. Now understand this. It doesn't mean that you and I are going to make a mistake. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to do things we shouldn't do and whatever. But it's someone that's constantly justifying. Let me share something with you. If somebody says, "The Lord told me to do this," and then say, "Well, no, the Lord told me to do that." Well, he changes my... In other words, they're justifying what they're expressing the Lord told them to do.
Yes.
Amen? That's not how it is. And I'm not saying God can't change his mind, because he does.
Amen.
And he does change his mind. But you got to be careful, especially... It's not mostly the young in that arena. It's mostly someone that has been associated with both sides, and now they're trying to be self-proclaiming, because they're actually forcing themselves in an office or trying to proclaim an office that God has ordained them to be, they believe. But they're now walking in the mixed anointing, and I'm not saying that God hasn't ordained them for that office. But it might not be God's timing. So without God's timing, they walk in a mixed anointing, and they actually end up hurting people and don't even realize it. And it doesn't mean that God can't use that individual to rescue some people, but eventually it's all going to fall in. Boom. Amen? Hallelujah. So we're going to see false prophets and false teachers speaking out of their own spirit things the Lord has not told them to speak. Amen? James 1. James 1 and chapter 5. James 1 and verse 5, sorry. It says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him." So we need spiritual wisdom, don't we?
Amen.
godly wisdom, not carnal. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is what? Double-minded, a man unstable in his ways. He's walking in a mixed anointing. He's immature. Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field, he will pass away. So we see here that there is a double-minded as a representation of unstable. The Lord said this and that and whatever, and but they change things because things aren't going their way according to what they believe the Lord told them to. Does everybody get it? So that person is called double-minded. Now, everyone has a dual personality. Hello? Everybody's got a dual personality. There's a personality of the flesh and there's a personality of in the spirit. You know, and that can cause a mixed anointing too, can't it? Because there are people who still want to do things in the flesh. But that's so obvious, isn't it? I'm talking about a mixed anointing where individuals are walking with the spirit and walking with a familiar spirit. Okay? Where sometimes it's hard to discern. But you'll know by the fruits. You have a witness in your spirit of what's happening. Go to James 4. And sometimes God doesn't reveal certain things until afterwards. You know, I was at a place where there was prophesying going on and so forth. And I'll tell you what, the words that were coming out of this prophet were powerful. I only heard a friend of him that came to me and he prophesied, he gave me a word. And I knew it was not my father. I knew it. I knew it was not the Lord because of what he had said to me. I knew it. What he said came against the word of God. And I left that place and broke it off of me. Now the Lord had sent me to a place where a prophet called me right out of a place and prophesied over me, and I knew it was God. Because it brought confirmation, edification, and exhortation. Now it can bring counsel, correction, and direction. It can also, most of the time, what you're going to hear is going to bring confirmation, isn't it? In other words, that night that, now listen, we all can walk in the gifts of the Spirit. Doesn't make you a prophet. Amen. People will walk, and that's the problem too. Especially those who are walking in the gifts of the Spirit, then they become self-proclaimed prophets. They become self-proclaimed evangelists, and this and that, whatever. When God is just allowing the Spirit to flow. Amen. I'm not a prophet. I've never proclaimed to be a prophet. That's not my office. I'm not saying that God doesn't use me in prophecy. Hello. I mean, this ministry moves in the prophetic. That doesn't mean that we're all prophets. Amen? I mean, you know, it's the school of the Spirit, isn't it? Amen. And that's what we want. But there are times when, you know, just like we've seen people get prophesied for, prophesied over, and it comes to pass. Well, praise God, that's God. It's not the individual, is it?
Amen?
Amen? It's God. Amen. But it doesn't mean that you're a prophet. The only one that profits anything is the Lord. Hello? Praise God. James 4, verse 6. It says, but he gives more grace, therefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God. Now, submitting to God means submitting to authority. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hearts, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you what? Double-minded. Walking in mixed anointing. Let me share something with you. An individual who does not submit to the authority that God has given and placed is walking in a mixed anointing. I don't care how much they move in the gifts of the Spirit. I don't care what their language sounds like. If they can't submit to authority, they are walking in a mixed anointing. Let me share something with you. My wife and I went to this meeting, and one of my mother mentors called me up and said, listen, There's a powerful meeting in Virginia. I'm like, Virginia? She says, come on, I'm paying your way. We're going. Okay. So me and my wife went, and it was a well-known prophetess and prophet, and they have this huge camp in Virginia. And these people have prophesied over great men of God and women of God. And that's where I did a lot of dancing, hallelujah. And I was there for about 7 days, and they had other ministers there and so forth. So this one guy came up. Well, what had happened was this guy came up to my wife and myself and his wife, and she gave a word to my wife, and it witnessed to me. I knew it was from the Lord. And so my spiritual mom that was sitting over there said, do you have a word for him? And he said, yeah. And so he said, hold my hand. And I shut my eyes, and I saw this white body in the distance behind both of us. And this white body walked up, bent over, and began to speak to this man. And I was like, Lord, he says, do you want a word for me or a word from that familiar spirit? And I said, what do I do? He said, bind it. So I turned my head, and I said, I bind that familiar spirit in Jesus' name. And the guy, he was struggling. He couldn't get a word. He said, squeeze my hand tighter. I said, Lord, what's squeezing his hand tighter got to do with anything? He said, nothing. So the man was a prophet walking in the mixed anointing. Now check this out. And when I bound that spirit, he couldn't get me a word. And I was, thank you, thank you. So my wife was having some back problem. And we ran into him in one of the morning sessions. And he says, I'm going to be praying for people with back problems. I'm doing the service today. Come. You know, and we went back to her room. And my wife says, what do you want to do? I said, I ain't going to that thing. I said, but look, if you want to go, go ahead. She says, well, if you're not going, I'm not going. I said, all right. So I began to pray. And the Lord said to me, I want you to go down there when I tell you. I'm thinking, what's up? So I said to my wife, I said, well, he's done praying for people. Let's go down there. So he went down there, and you know what he began to teach on? Mixed anointing. And he was talking about himself. I mean, my wife and I were just looking at him. I mean, we were looking at one another. Everything that he was preaching was him. And I was like, ah! And I realized about mixed anointing. I was looking for my notes from that teaching because it was about 5 years ago, and I couldn't find it. And then the Lord was sharing with me because much of that is going on right now. People are walking in the mixed anointing. And these are people who love the Lord. But you know what? The end result is they're going to damage many people. See, they may free you, but then they bind you with something else. You know what I'm saying? Remember, God never interrupts himself. He's perfect. You know, and his spirit brings freedom, not bondage. Amen? It brings peace, doesn't it? Not torment. Go to Titus 1. Yeah, the Lord told me to buy this car. Uh-huh. Let's see what the end result is. Hallelujah. Titus chapter 1. Oh, praise God. Titus chapter 1. Is everybody there in verse 7? For a bishop must be, remember, someone who wants to get an authority, must be blameless as a steward of God. Oh, whoa. You know what? Before God puts you in office, he's going to make sure that you know how to handle his money. He's going to make sure that you're a good steward. And let me share this with you, because God is a God of order. He will not give you money to give away and not pay your own bills. And to put bondage on someone else to pay your bills. That's not God. That's mixed anointing. Hello? He's going to give you sufficient amount of money to do what you're supposed to do, isn't he? He's going to cause you to tithe. He's going to, but he wants you to pay your bills, doesn't he?
Amen.
Yes. And it doesn't mean you're going to pay it all off at one time, does it?
No.
Because he wants you to give to the kingdom of God, but he's not going to forsake you, is he? He's going to see if you are a good steward of his money. Know how to handle his money. One of the things he wants you to do is be financially independent, doesn't he? So he's going to supply you with a seed so that you can sow it and so that you can use it, right? Because by planting seed, you know what tithe does? Tithe protects your investment. It protects your investment. That's the purpose of tithing. Protects your investment. We're paying for protection. Hallelujah. So we must be good stewards of God's money. Amen?
Amen.
Not self-willed. That's someone that just does whatever they want with their money. So we want to be good stewards of God's money, right?
Amen.
Amen. So you see, not, what did we say? Not greedy for money, not violent and so forth, but hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, and self-control. Listen, if you can't be self-control over God's finances, he won't give you the opportunity.
Amen.
Believe me, that's how God tests us out.
Amen.
Holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Preparation with discernment. That's what God's doing with us right now. He's just giving us discernment so we can understand mixed anointing.
Amen.
You know, when I was a baby in Christ, and I'm not saying I'm growing up because I don't know what I'm going to be when I grow up, but I'm going to do what God wants me to do right now.
Amen.
You know, one of the things that the Lord has said is that we must be childlike. We must be quick to forgive, willing to learn, and quick to, what was the other one? Oh, quick to receive, yes, willing to learn, and I forgot the other one. Hallelujah. But anyways, we must be childlike.
All trusting.
All trusting, that's it. All trusting. What else?
Quick to forgive
and willing to learn. So we have to be childlike, don't we? Always. None of us has made it. Anyone who thinks he's made it is in trouble. And when God puts you in office, it's not your office anyways, it's his. Hello? So many people try to protect their office. And the Lord said to me, when I had to go through the Sanhedrin deal and be brought before the people, he said to me, don't worry, but don't you dare protect your office. It's not yours. I'll protect your office. That's when he said, don't say a word. See, what happens is we begin to go in pride and so forth. We open the door. We try to protect. We try to justify what we do. If God gives you a word and you speak it, you don't have to prove it.
Amen.
And you don't have to justify by it or make excuses and tell them, listen, I know it was from God. You give the word and shut up. Because it's not your word. If it's your word, you're there to protect it. And you're there to encourage it. But if it's God's word, you give it and it's over with. Most of the time, the words that he gives me for people, I don't even remember. It's given and gone. It ain't up to me. Hello?
Amen.
Glory to God. Is everybody all right?
Amen.
Praise God. Okay, let's go to verse 10. For there are many insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole households, teaching things which they ought not, for the sake of dishonest gain. One of them, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. This testimony is true. Therefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men who turn from the truth. To the pure, all things are pure. Let me tell you, when you get a word, it's pure.
Amen.
Amen.
There's something about the voice of God that's pure. Even if it's in conviction, even if it's in correction, it's pure.
Yes.
To the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure, but their mind and conscience are defiled. They profess to know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every work. Let me share with you what qualifies an individual. It doesn't matter how much time you spend with God, because if you're truly spending time with God, you should be changing. But people justify themselves of how much they worship God, how much they read their Bible, hello, and how much time they spend with God. That does not justify. Does everybody understand that? That doesn't justify anything. It's fruits. Does everybody understand? I get a lot of people that tell me all kinds of stuff. Well, I did this and I did that and I've been taking this time with God and whatever. Sometimes some people have picked up mixed anointing because they've been separated from the body of Christ.
Yes.
Hello? And they've picked up another familiar spirit. Oh, hallelujah. So that's now how we discern. We always discern by fruits, don't we? If somebody comes up to you, listen, I've had people come up to me and give me words. Oh, praying in the Spirit. Oh, thus says the Lord. And I knew right off the bat it wasn't my Father.
Amen.
All is form of godliness.
Amen.
But I knew it wasn't my dad. Because it's got to be pure. It's got to be pure. If it's not pure, it's not dead. Because His words are pure. Hello? People pick up the spirit of criticism and so forth. And what they're doing now is they're looking for every wrong thing with everyone and think that they're walking in the gift. It's mixed anointing. Jesus didn't go around looking for everything bad with someone. Did He? Oh, hallelujah. Acts 16. Acts chapter 16. Oh, hallelujah. We're going to get through this. And we're going to know. Glory to God. Acts 16 and verse 16. Now it happens as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination, that's a familiar spirit, met us who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. Now we know that she was yielding to familiar spirits. She was doing it on purpose. She was possessed, wasn't she? But you notice something, that much of the familiar spirits always move. Much of them, and I'm not saying all of them, I'm sharing about people who like to move in the gift of prophecy a lot can pick up familiar spirits. Because that's all they're doing. They go from every prophetic meeting to prophetic meeting. And that's all they want to do is prophesy. But their houses are not in order. They owe money to everybody and all kinds of stuff, and they're waiting for somebody else to pay their bills. That's mixed anointing. Oh, hallelujah. Now, this woman here was, because it said, who brought her masters much profit by what? Fortune-telling. Oh, hallelujah. I mean, that's what's good. That's what's the big thing right now, isn't it? People always want to know the future. Read the Bible. There's your future. This girl followed Paul and us, and cried out, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. Oh, they were praising and glorifying God, weren't they? And they were boasting up, said, these men, they're the men of God! Follow them! And this she did for many days, but Paul, greatly annoyed, he got a witness in his spirit. This girl ain't right. turned and said to the spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. He finally had it. He said, that's it. And he came out of that, came out of her that very hour, and her masters were upset because now she couldn't get in. She couldn't fortune tell for them anymore. Mixed anointing. You don't have to be possessed to fellowship with mixed anointing. You just have to associate with familiar spirits. Does everybody understand that?
Amen.
Go to Matthew 24. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 24. Praise be to God. Everybody all right?
Amen.
Are you getting something?
Amen.
Hallelujah. In verse 4. And Jesus answered and said to the disciples, take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. In other words, I'm a believer. I got a word for you. If it doesn't come with repentance, don't believe it. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. You know, that woman that was following Paul was nothing but a thorn in his flesh. You know what I'm saying? She was annoying, wasn't she? Think about that. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places. Is that what's happening now?
Amen.
All these are the beginning of sorrows. Look at, people are reading more horoscopes. They're seeking more spirit. There's more New Age movement going on. There's a lot of things that are going on right now. They will deliver, and these are all the beginning of sorrows, so we know that we're already in them. They will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be what? And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. So it must be preached to all nations, right? Hallelujah. And this is happening right now. We're already in, we are in the beginning of sorrows. Tribulation is the next event. Hello? It's next, man. It's about to happen. And there are antichrists all over right now. There are a lot of false doctrines. There's a lot of false religions opening up. I mean, some ministries are now allowing gays to preach, laying hands on one another. You don't think they're imparting that spirit? Hello? Come on. Go to Deuteronomy 34. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 34 and verse 4. Deuteronomy 34 and verse 4. Then the Lord said to Moses, this is the land of which I swore to give Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants, and I have caused you to see it with your eyes, but you shall not cover or cross over there. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he, God, buried Moses in the valley in the land of Moab opposite Beth Peor. But no one knows where his grave was to this day. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes were not dim, nor his natural vigor diminished. That's what happens when you stay in God's presence. The children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. 30 days they wept for him. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses ended. Now Joshua, now the word Joshua is a representation of the word Jesus.
Amen.
In fact, Jesus in Hebrew means Joshua. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom. For Moses had laid his hands on him. So the children of Israel heeded him and did as had commanded Moses. But since then there has not arisen in Israel a prophet like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. And all the signs and wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt before Pharaoh, before all of his servants in all his land, and by all that mighty power and all the great terror which Moses performed in the sight of all Israel. Now you got to remember something. It was a symbolic that in the prophecy, some people like moving and they want to, you know, they want to be a prophet of the Old Testament. That's over. God buried that, didn't he?
Yeah.
He buried it. It's no longer in that arena of those prophets. We're in a whole new, in fact, the Bible says that the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. Why? Because everyone can move in the gift of prophecy, can't it? Now, there are specific prophets in office, and what their purpose is to direct the body of Christ in the flow of the Spirit. Hello? That's the purpose of it. Okay. So we see here that God buried Moses. He buried that, didn't he? So that Joshua could take over. In other words, now you and I are walking in the anointing of Christ. And a whole other anointing, a whole arena. We're walking in the sevenfold of the Holy Spirit. We're walking in the nine gifts of the Spirit. Everything's available for me and you. It's no longer just, thus says the Lord, do this or die. Because that's what used to happen in then. But it ain't like that no more. So that's over, isn't it? Jesus came to fulfill all of that. He came to restore and reconcile, didn't he? His words were pure. He says, my words are life. 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 So you got to understand something. We need to have the discernment to discern whether somebody's walking in mixed anointing or not. Any one of us can walk in the mixed anointing. But what we need to do is shake it off quickly and repent. So we walk in God's right anointing. God's anointing is pure. It's always pure. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. You know, just because the spirit of counsel comes doesn't make you a counselor. Amen? The Bible says desire spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy to edify the body of Christ, doesn't make you a prophet.
Amen.
Amen. Just because you walk in discerning the spirits doesn't make you Mr. Discerner. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
God places you in the office.
Amen.
1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 37. If anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. But if anyone is ignorant, let him be ignorant. Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy and do not forbid to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and what? So God will never interrupt himself, will he? He doesn't do that. Things are done decently and in order, isn't it? Oh, hallelujah. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Oh, we're just flying tonight. Hallelujah. In verse 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, for we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. I mean, that's wild, huh? That's like me, me, me. We, however, will not boast beyond measure. If they boast beyond measure, they walk into what? Mixed anointings. But within the limits of the sphere which God appointed us, a sphere which especially includes you, for we are not overextending ourselves as though our authority did not extend to you. For it was to you that we came with the gospel of Christ. Not boasting of things beyond measure. Do you ever notice he's always speaking about beyond measure? Because he was expressing, Paul did not walk in the mixed anointing. That is, in other men's labors, but having hope that as your faith is increased, we shall be greatly enlarged by you in our sphere. To preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's sphere of accomplishment. But he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. For not he who commends himself is approved, but whom the Lord commends. Amen? This is just, you know, this is very important right now, what we're going through. We must be very wise. We must discern. Hallelujah. So, you know, authority. People don't submit to authority. They don't understand. They make excuses not to submit to authority because they'll be exposed. They'd rather be loners. Hello? Hey, we had one guy come one night and prophesy. It was ridiculous. Proclaimed prophet. We got a good experience of it. I kept saying, Lord, can I throw him out now? This was years and years ago. And when we just had the discipleship house, this guy came in prophesying and doing all kinds of stuff. I mean, his words sounded good. Finally, he said he saw Moses and somebody in the corner, John the Baptist. I said, okay, that's enough. I'm thinking, Lord, what's up? Should I throw this guy out or what? And he said, no. Let this be an experience. And I said, okay. So, then we talked about it afterwards, after he left. I didn't let him back anymore. He called me, hey, man, let's get together. I said, no, thank you. Then he had a big pumpkin on his house for Halloween. I'm like, ay, ay, ay. You know what he did? He came in the wrong spirit, didn't he? He came in the mixed anointing, didn't he? You know, listen, let me share something with you. People who like to manipulate walk in mixed anointing. Let me share something with you. Zeal for God without humbleness or humble submission is a tool for the enemy. If you're zealous for God and you have zeal for God, but you're not willing to submit to authority, that's a tool for the enemy. They become extremists who eventually damage their own cause. Manipulation of any sort is from the evil one, regardless of the motives of those who use it. You can have good motives, but if you manipulate, it's from the evil one. They're walking in mixed anointing. Does everybody got it? Do I need to repeat that? Remember, manipulation. If somebody's walking in manipulation, they walk in mixed anointing. Zeal without a humble submission is a tool for the enemy. They become extremists who eventually damage their own cause. Manipulation of any sort is from the evil one, regardless of the motives of those who use it. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Go to James 3. Praise God. Amen. You know, in Acts 7:51, I just want to share this. You know, when I think it was Peter who was speaking. No, yeah, was it Peter? I think it was Peter. I don't remember now. Anyways, one of the apostles was speaking. It was before, like the Sanhedrin and so forth, and the religious Jews. And he was explaining to them what was going on, why Jesus was doing what he was doing. And he finally said to them, "You stiff-necked, uncircumcised you stiff-necked, uncircumcised, you always resist the Holy Spirit." Let me share with you, one of the fruits of resisting the Holy Spirit is a stiff neck. And it's someone who's prideful.
Amen.
No matter what you say, they won't accept it. Or they have a form, they act like they're willing to accept it. But they really are not. They're stiff-necked. Oh, they'll go, "Yeah, man, I'm willing to receive anything." And they shrug it off. Because they're really not willing to receive anything. They walk in the mixed anointing. James 3. In verse 13, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first what? Pure. Then what? Peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." James 1, and we'll close here. James 1. Praise be to the Lord. James chapter 1. You know, I guess I've been kind of like waiting for this teaching in some way, not knowing when or where. You know, and as this began to come to me, I began to reflect on how many people have come up to me that were walking in mixed anointing, you know? And how, I mean, just phenomenal, you know, especially in the charismatic movement. You know, I love walking in the Spirit. I love to see the gifts flow and so forth, and prophecy and interpretations. That's great. But some people go beyond. That's all they're doing, is looking for the gifts to self-edification. You know? And that's walking in mixed anointing. I can't tell you how many prophecies I had over my life. I got to a point where it's like, you know, when somebody gives me a prophecy, praise God. I put it on the shelf. You know, if it happens, it happens. You know, I'm not going to chase a word. I'm going to chase the King. Hallelujah. In verse 21, chapter 1, "Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive the meekness, the imparted word," with meekness, "the imparted word, which is able to" what? "Save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a" what? "A man observing his natural face in the mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he is. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he is religious, but does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." And that's what we want to do. Remember, even those familiar spirits will try and use a believer to spot you. Amen? The Spirit brings counsel, correction, and direction. He straightens us up, doesn't puff us up. but it's pure. His words are pure, not degrading, pure. Amen?
Amen?
Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord. And Lord, any area where we have touched unclean, mixed anointing, we ask for your forgiveness and we repent for it, Lord. And forgive us, Lord, for not submitting 100% to you in every area. Lord, wash us with the blood. Search us through and remove those things that offend you. And take your rightful place in our hearts, our minds, our wills, our desires. That Christ would be formed in us. And that you would use us and speak through us to set people free from the bondage that has been put upon them. And that your kingdom would be expanded and that your name would be glorified. Lord, we thank you, we love you, and we commit all things to you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen and hallelujah.